National Football League Talk every Tuesday with Bo Marchand, covering the NFL Draft at collegetopro.com and the NFL Draft Bible, covering the Steelers for Sports Illustrated, living and running in Eastern Ohio, and on Twitter X at Bo Marchand. Here's Bo with Bryant and Brett.
Bo Marchand joins us now to talk the NFL like he does every single Tuesday. He joins us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Bo, thanks so much for joining us, and plenty to get to in the NFL, especially with the NFL draft. But I got to start with you. Probably the first question you've gotten from everybody on the NFL draft: what did you make of Michael Penix Jr. going
number eight to Atlanta?
Huh.
Wow.
Listen, I wish I was wise enough to know. It's just a bizarre set of circumstances. It goes from the Falcons, you know, doing their due diligence. You have a scouting department. You have a GM and Terry Fontenot. You're doing all this work throughout the college season. You're going to all-star games. You're doing all this stuff. I mean, Penix was down at the Senior Bowl, so it wasn't like they had a more than ample opportunity to get to know him and talk to him. Then you have the combine opportunities. And then after the combine, after the season, after the Senior Bowl, then you go to free agency. And, you know, I mean, rumored, you know, it seemed like they kind of got to Kirk Cousins before they were supposed to. So they were so eager to sign Kirk Cousins, let alone they had to know what they wanted in Michael Penix. And that's where my confusion is. Why would you give Cousins that money guaranteed, $180, $100 million of it guaranteed? You want to stick with him. You want to help him in terms of getting that team up and running, but you select Penix at eight. And it's not about the Penix pick. I don't have no problem with that. I just think it's a weird dynamic. I think it sends distrust between Cousins' camp and the Falcons. And I think it gives a fan base, you know, now Cousins, he's a quarterback that's been under a ton of scrutiny his entire career. If he struggles out of the gate, fans are going to be clamoring to get this rookie on the board. They're going to want to see this young kid, you know, throw the football, and they're going to remember the glory days that just were at Washington when he was playing in the national champion. So it's a bizarre set of circumstances. I don't like it for either player. I think it puts them at, you know, butting heads, and I know they're not, but it's just, you know, you're a young rookie. You want to come in with a shot, especially quarterback, to be the guy. You got to wait. Cousins got the big money to be the guy. Now he has this young blood kind of underneath him that could take his job early. So It's Atlanta put themselves in just a bad light by doing that maneuver.
And what it does, you're right about the fan base. Already the most popular person on any roster is always the backup quarterback. When it elevates Penix before he ever does anything, and I think he will do plenty in the NFL, and I'm rooting for him, but before he ever hits the field, it vaults him into almost mythic status.
It does. I mean, think about preseason. Just say, you know, he's going to get his reps during the preseason. Imagine if he looks spectacular. Imagine, like, wow, this kid looks phenomenal. They're going to sit him. It's that they put themselves in a pickle, if you will. It's just, you want Cousins to succeed. You want Penix to succeed. And then, you know, first round pick, when are you going to get to see him if you're going to pick up the fifth year option? I mean, if things go according to that contract, you're really never even going to get to see Penix play. And even if you do, say they play Penix in year three. That's going to be his rookie year in terms of him being the starter. And these are all hypotheticals. He could, you know, Cousins could get hurt during the preseason and Penix is thrust into it. But if you're going along the basis of how these contracts are designed, you know, the Falcons now, they got to worry about, are we going to see enough from this kid that we invested the eighth pick and now we're going to give him, you know, the fifth-year option? And if we've come to learn, those fifth-year options that these guys get, they don't hand those out like candy. Nine times out of ten, or at least 7 out of 10, these guys aren't getting that fifth-year option picked up, and, you know, they're going to hit free agency. So it's just a bizarre thing. It's something we're going to talk about because the season is going to approach. These guys are going to start mini camp. They are going to have training camp when summer rolls around. Preseason is going to start, and Cousins is going to have to get hot. The Falcons are going to have to get hot. If not, it's going to be Penix time sooner than we think.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right about that. Well, you've been telling us for weeks that you were very confident that that all these big-time quarterbacks would be taken in the first round. It felt like as we got closer and closer to draft time, more and more people were saying only those top four are going to be taken. Only a couple are going to be taken in the first round, and then guys like Michael Penix Jr., guys like Bo Nix would be taken later in the second or third round. So we saw that. I think that might have been the biggest wild card of the night for a lot of people, but you were on top of that. What other surprises did you see through the first couple of rounds of the NFL draft?
I did not expect the quarterbacks to be off the board by 12.
Yeah.
I thought Penix or Nix would be, a late teen guy, and I thought Penix or Nix would be that team moving back into the first round late, back in the, 28 back to 32 in terms of 12, in the top 12, I never imagined, but I did thought there would be six. I think another thing that I was just kind of a little thrown off is the move for the Chiefs to kind of skyrocket up and make the move for Xavier Worthy. I thought that was a little bit of a stretch. I know he ran fast, the 4.21, and that's great, but John Ross ran fast and he never worked out. I just think Andy Reid and that team were creative enough to make that, and I think L'Jarius Sneed getting traded to the Titans and the way him and Murphy. OJ, those guys were in that secondary. I thought they were so important and so valuable to the Chiefs being able to become repeat champions. And I just thought they took the eye off the ball a little bit. I think that'll come back to haunt them. I don't think that's going to put them back into the Super Bowl. And I'll say it now. I think this is the, I just think they left it open there. So that was the one thing. And I think the Chiefs, or not the Chiefs, I think the Colts, getting Latu Ilati from UCLA, I think he's the best rusher, and for him to slip to where they got him, I thought that was a fabulous, fabulous pick. So I think in the Titans, I thought they did the right thing. They didn't go skill, they went O-line. I thought they played big boy ball, not 7-on-7 type drafting. That like we see Atlanta done, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Michael Penix, and now they have a Penix that's going to sit the bench. So those are some of the things I took away, but very disappointed in the Chiefs not going defense or at least trying to replenish that defense. I mean, you could have got a Nate Wiggins late and not gave up what they gave. It wasn't a lot, but I just don't like the overall move to grab a receiver, especially in such a deep receiver class.
Here's the setup, Bo. J.J. McCarthy has a great year, and he's rookie of the year. How many games, if he's rookie of the year, will Minnesota win?
He's rookie of the year? 7? I think.
I would think double digits.
Yeah. I guess it would have to be double digits. I'm just thinking, like, in division with Caleb Williams, that means the Bears are going to really have to go south.
CJ Stroud.
Yeah, they do. So I'm just trying to think. I would say 7, though. I can't see them winning 10 games. But you're right, though. If they would win 10 games, I would probably put them close to a wild card spot, 10-7 or 10-6-1, they would be right there, and he would probably get those accolades, and he'd have to play very well. He steps into a great system. Kevin O'Donnell and Wes Phillips, those guys are great offensive minds. They're kind of like that young bunch of, nice young coaches, OCs that can kind of develop these guys, and that's where you'd like the nurturing part for McCarthy to kind of have that. You got an elite receiver in Justin Jefferson. You got another young, looks promising, elite-looking guy. And Jordan Addison, and then, they bring in Aaron Jones. He still has a lot of pep. He just was banged up last season, but he's never had those injuries. So that offense should be explosive. It's kind of like a Ben Roethlisberger or a Russell Wilson type rookie year where, just manage the game, don't ruin it for us, and we'll watch you grow. If you're that guy, you'll become the guy.
Well, you said something last week with us that really stayed with me the rest of the week, and in watching the draft and seeing the families and the hugs and the tears of joy, and I'm trying to remember, where was it? There was a player taken, and there was like a 10, 11-year-old youngster in the room, and you could just see the pride and how he was enjoying it, that whether, I don't know if it was a family member or a friend or, why he was there, but it had to be something, a familiar tie, a close tie. And you could feel the love of, whether it's my big brother or my cousin or my friend, he's going to the NFL. And what you said last week is you wanted all these quarterbacks to do well because the league needs it. Because last year we hit some real ruts week after week with quarterbacks. And, you know, the Tommy DeVito story was good. Have y'all heard that he's Italian? Have you heard Tommy DeVito's Italian?
No, actually,
we only got told that 900 times last year. But we need quarterback play. And I thought it was illustrative of you, my friend, and that's how you think. You want all these guys to do well, and I don't want Penix to be the bust and be the draft night a joke because the Falcons may or may not mess that up.
I agree. Even when it comes to scouting, I get lectured because it's hard for me to just be negative. You know, life's hard enough to let somebody. We all know our faults. We all know what we do wrong. Mm. We don't need to be told. I mean, we can write about it, but. You know, it's there to see, that's the fun part. You want these, you do, you really want these guys to succeed. You don't want them to succeed if they're playing against your favorite team in terms of that particular game, but in terms of, you know, the grand scheme of things, it's just the better these guys are going to be, the better it is. I mean, if we can get, you know, we talked about the six quarterbacks in 83, and, you know, you got a Marino, you got an Elway, you got a Kelly, then you got an Anasiasen, and Ken O'Brien. So it's, you know, you think about these guys and it's critical that these guys are developed the right way. It's critical that they succeed. And it's a lightning rod. We saw it last year in Houston. It's such a great example of if you can nail it and get it right. If you become a contender that quickly, and kind of piggybacking on that, I love what Carolina did. I mean, they went directly, you know, they spent, free agency addressing the O-line, and then, you know, they move into round one, and they get Xavier Leggett, who I think is extremely good, and, you know, they just kept stopping.
Those two SEC wide receivers at the bottom of the first round, they can play.
Yep.
Yeah, they can. I mean, they got a real, real, you know, I shouldn't say a star, but a guy that I'm very high on. And, you know, and then they take Brooks as the back, they get the tight end, so they just start stockpiling, doing all the things that you need. You know, you invest in these guys, you do the things, and I didn't like the Roma Dunsey pick. I like building, you know, I like O-line. I like defensive guys. I think they're just hard to find, and especially with the surplus. But if Odunze becomes a Justin Jefferson or a Jamar Chase, you know, the pick will be, you know, fantastic. I don't fault any of the picks last week. I mean, teams know what they're doing. They have a vision of where they want to go, and I'm just an outsider kind of looking in, trying to gauge where that's going to take them. I don't like the Worthy pick, but, you know, Andy Reid and those guys know a lot more than me. I would have went in another direction, but they might feel comfortable with certain guys stepping up, or they addressed it different ways. And those are all the things that we don't know that we'll come to find out, you know, once this draft a few years from now takes place. And, you know, people say, oh, you got to wait a couple years. No, maybe some guys you got to wait. But, you know, we're gonna know pretty darn early if Caleb Williams is worth the number one pick. We're going to know if Marvin Harrison is the guy that he's supposed to be, and we'll find out if those guys are, you know, who they are, or they're bust. And it doesn't take long for us to realize that. It's a pretty simple thing.
Let's go 12, 13-year playing career, 5-year waiting period for the Hall of Fame. Let's go summer of 2044. And, Bo, the good health you're in and all those miles you've been running, you'll still be it at Fawcett Stadium in Canton for the ceremony. Who's your Hall of Famer, Bo? And Brian's got his, and I have mine.
Yeah, I think I said it a couple weeks back, and I'm going to have to go with Marvin Harrison. And I don't like going with skill guys. I'm going to go with Marvin Harrison, and I'm going to go with an oddball one here. I'm going to go the second round, Notre Dame, Houston Texans, and Blake Fisher, their offensive lineman they took. So I'm going to give an easy one in Harrison, and I'm going to go on a limb here, go second round in Blake Fisher. And I think he's going to be a guy that, you know, Joe Alt, there was a, you know, he, no fault to Joe Alt. I could probably list Joe Alt as that guy. But as an oddball name, I'm going to throw Fisher as the guy that I think most might say, I'm going to have to go with Harrison.
I'm going to go with two as well, and you'll understand why I'm going with two. Everyone will know why I'm going with two, because my first one, Tyler Guyton, taken off the board, number 29. I don't know this team that they took him, Dallas Cowboys. I mean, who are they? But this guy will be a Hall of Famer one day after he spends his entire career with the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, Johnny.
Who knows how many
Now we're going to get parade route, and we're going to get the parade – what line up in the parade in Canton at the great Hall of Fame parade.
Oh man, bro.
You know, need some time. Still
we're
raw,
in trouble, bro.
Still a little raw, but hey, gets down in that system that they've got in Dallas. Gonna be a Hall of Famer. Then my other one. My other one, Xavier Legette, the new Carolina Panther.
Oh yeah, he's
love
amazing.
Love
it. He's amazing.
He was big time receiver at South Carolina. I think he does the same with the Panthers, and it'll be huge for Bryce Young to have another young wide receiver to rely on.
Brian, go ahead, Bo.
No, you please.
No, I just laughed.
I'm going to go with who I talked about a few weeks ago. I'm going to go with Brock Bowers as my first one.
This is
the first time we've ever gone to, and I like that we're doing it. I'm going to go Brock Bowers as my surefire summer of 2044 at the Hall of Fame, and he'll be bald in 2 years, so he'll look like a Hall of Famer when he gets there. And I'm going to go with J.J. McCarthy, Rookie of the Year in 2024, Hall of Fame, summer of 2044.
I love it.
Wow, man. Wow,
entire career with the Vikings.
Ooh.
Tom Brady-esque almost. Michigan. and the title and off to the McCarthy races.
Jim Harbaugh said he was better at Michigan than Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, I mean, he could say that. He might not believe it.
He won more.
That's true.
Yeah, he did. He did win more. He did win more. But yeah, well, I mean, Brady, that whole thing. Who was the quarterback that the baseball player? Not Chad Henne.
Drew Henson.
Drew Henson. You know, he had to deal with that. He was a local kid. There were so many things stacked against Brady. I mean, the quarterback room was
had to deal with Dreesbach too.
He was. You know, I don't know what book I read. It might have been the Dynasty, but. Yeah, I mean, the scenarios that Brady went to, I mean, there was a point where he was going to leave Michigan. It just wasn't working out. And, you know, he was just a grinder. And every time you put him in, you know, he just kind of answered the bell. And, you know, he goes on to be, you know, seven-time Super Bowl
champion. Tom Brady.
Yeah. So he becomes the guy that we're going to talk about. Generations and generations will talk about him well after we're gone talking about his greatness.
Yeah. Talking to Bo Marchand, he joins us every single Tuesday to talk the NFL. We've talked a lot about the draft, and one kind of storyline into the afternoon on Saturday was the fact that the Cowboys had not taken a running back in the draft. I know they had a big discussion on ESPN about why they hadn't gone running back. Mel Kiper was, I mean, he was losing his mind at the fact that the Cowboys hadn't taken one of the good running backs that had just been taken or that were still on the board. But then we get the news yesterday morning that Ezekiel Elliott is coming back to Dallas and he signs a deal to be their running back. What did you make of this move? I'm still on the fence about it, leaning more to not a huge fan of the move. What do you think about Zeke back with the Cowboys?
I like the move. It was just, the offensive line for Dallas went downhill. And we could say, we all know Zeke is the guy from, 2018 when he led the league in rushing or when he was a rookie and he did the same thing. It's, you know, this is a running back with a lot of wear and tear on him. But he had a rejuvenated career last season in New England. He was the best back in New England. And, you know, Ramondre Stevenson is a stud. He's a hard runner. But that was Zeke. Zeke took, you know, and for him to go back, I think the Cowboys, and I think this was the thing, if something would have worked out, that the Cowboys would have went in another direction, maybe they would have brought somebody in and free agents when all the guys were on the board. But, you know, they get a cheap option, a guy who knows the team. Mm-hmm. We know the fan base loves him. We know he's a hard runner. He's not going to hurt the Cowboys, if you will. And they got, you know, Deuce Baum, we don't know, and Ricky Dottle. I love Ricky Dottle. I think he's, I mean, we really got to kind of see him last year kind of emerge, and not emerge as a superstar, but kind of really take another step. And you know, he got hurt early on, so we, you know, missed seeing him kind of do his thing. So, you know, running back by committee, you know, keep Zeke fresh, and you got a couple young guys in Dottle and Deuce Vaughn. And the Royce Freeman, I don't put a lot of stock into that. If any of the signings that I would have kind of questioned, it would have been the Royce Freeman one. That one seems just kind of like, ugh. But, you know, I think with the core of the three of with Deuce and Rico and getting Zeke back, I just think it. Listen, when you just hypothetically, if they open up Monday night or they're on Monday Night Football and you're seeing them go to the, you know, the star and you see, you know, Zeke in that uniform, it's just like, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, Brian, you're like, oh, everything seems normal with the world right now.
Oh, so. I believe me. I know that once I see him on the field, all those great memories, those fond memories that I have of Zeke will all come back and life will be fine. I'm curious, because over the weekend, an interesting story involving Tom Brady. We were just talking about him, and Jerod Mayo talking about Tom Brady, and still the possibility that it feels like comes up every offseason about Tom Brady returning to the field. And Jerod Mayo said, the door is always open if he wants to come here and coach. But as far as going on the field, I don't know. Could we see Coach TB12 in the future?
I'd put him back on the playing field playing before I see him back on the field coaching. That's my opinion. I think he's a player at heart. Mm-hmm. Some guys do love coaching. I think that's it. I'd never see a coach, you know, in Brady. I could see a coach in Peyton Manning. I could see him wanting to do that. He's just a football junkie. I think Brady, he's more suited for the studio. Not that Peyton Manning isn't by any stretch of the means, but I just think Brady is that personality, that pretty face where you just kind of want to see him on Thursday night or Monday night, Sunday night, kind of doing the television gig or owning a team. But I think the long days and the thing, and I think he would just get too frustrated. He's Tom Brady. I think the commitment to excellence that he has for himself, and I think that's why some of these guys, as great as they are, sometimes they don't work out to be great coaches because they just know the one way and their way. And you know, we've seen it with Michael Jordan, et cetera, other greats that have kind of had opportunities to kind of, you know, be on the sidelines and hold the whistle and the chalkboard, but it doesn't work out. So, but that's my opinion. If he's a coach, and I imagine if he was, he'd be fast-tracked to head coach. But even that, he's got too much. He's too young. He's got too much going on. I guess maybe I'm living vicariously through Tom Brady. If I was Tom Brady and I had what he has right now, I'd want to go enjoy life, enjoy my kids. I do not want to sit at a facility from 7 a.m. till 9 a.m. breaking down tape and worrying about if we have a left tackle that's going to play Sunday.
We know he loves football. He left Giselle Bundchen for football.
That was football. Not
that was playing. That's right.
Yeah, that was him playing. So that's where I think if he can't do that, I don't think he wants to commit to that type.
I need to rethink a bunch of things.
Priorities.
But can you imagine if Peyton Manning or Tom Brady were your position coach or your offensive coordinator, Bo, in those meetings? How would you ever please them?
You couldn't. I guess it'd be trying to like break down physics with, you know, Albert Einstein. You'd always feel let down, and he would always probably feel let down, knowing that hey, he's smart, but he just doesn't have it. So, but it would be fun. I mean, it would pack houses. Tom Brady is such an iconic name. It's just hard to imagine him just being an assistant coach or a passing coordinator, or even an offensive coordinator. It just seems beneath him because of his stature and, you know, where he's at in life. So that's where I don't see it. And then on the flip side, you know, I don't think we saw it with Jeff Saturday, him getting a head coaching job with no experience. I don't think Brady would go that route. So I just don't see it happening. I see him stepping on the field, playing back in the NFL, which I don't think is going to happen. But if anything happens, I think that's the scenario. And I think the most likely, logical, and we know the money's going to be there, is for him to kind of be in the booth talking to us about, you know, what teams are doing on the field as an announcer.
Yeah. Oh, Bo, you made a great point there. Jeff Saturday took out a bunch of people with any idea of kind of that NBA template of going quickly from playing with no coaching experience into being the head coach. Baseball's done it. And they're kind of mixed reviews with both. Jeff Saturday, he did a number on any owner thinking about doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, the work that goes into the, I mean, you're on that staff at that level, it's immense. You're talking about, you're giving up time away from so many things to put it into being in the National Football League, and that's why it might be safe fun to do it for a trial run like Saturday got to do, but long term, you know, these guys, they're a different breed. I mean, look at Andy Reid and his age and all the things that he's been through, and he's still signing contract extensions. It's isn't his DNA. Like we joked around with me running. I mean, I'm gonna be that junkie Jerry Rice. I'm gonna be a Hall of Famer, but I'm gonna go off the Oakland or the Raiders when he was there, and then I'm going to go to Seattle, and I'm going to keep going until I, you know, until they say, hey, man, you got to hang him up. If not, Jerry would still be playing. Owens would still be playing. Manny would still be playing if he could throw the ball. These guys is just in their blood.
Yeah.
And every one of them you named, they would still be playing, and they all would have big divorces. Because all of them's wives and families were going, it's over. You're through.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the case. You know, but that's the fun part. These guys, they love it so much that they, you know, they can't get it out of the system. And on the flip side, not to get off, I don't know how much time we have, but like I saw Maurkice Pouncey, Pro Bowl All-Pro center for the Steelers, and he was, you know, the guys come in, they had a jersey day last season, and he came in and he said that was his first time in Pittsburgh. He, you know, he has no animosity towards the Steelers or the game of national football, but you know, he's doing his own thing. Yeah. He has, I think, a tequila or vodka business down in Florida. So he's enjoying life. He's just, you know, it's just, this is what he did during that moment. And now he's on to a whole nother lifestyle and set of circumstances. Football wasn't, you know, defined him. It was just something he did. And now he's off doing other things that he enjoys.
Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting to see, you know, what different routes, you know, former athletes go after, because you're right. I mean, they can be so different. Some guys, you know, just completely do something different from the sport they played for years. Other guys, you know, feel like they have to stick to it because it's all they know and it's what they're good at. So it's definitely interesting, but I'm with you on Tom Brady. I think we see him in the booth and I think he's going to be really, really good at it. But Bo, as always, thanks so much for joining us and we'll do it again next week.
Yep, stay safe as always, gentlemen.
Thanks, Bo. Bo Marchant joining us to talk the NFL like he does every single week and plenty to talk about this week with everything that happened over the weekend in the NFL draft. Well, let's go ahead and get to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about what's trending.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, some very significant baseball news coming out within the last 30 minutes, hour or so, and he's now spoke to reporters, but Mike Trout is going to have to need surgery for his knee. According to ESPN, they were first on the story that I've seen, at least, Jeff Passan and Alden Gonzalez from ESPN. The extent is not known, but a source said it is not expected to be season-ending. And then a follow-up tweet from Alden Gonzalez. It's a torn meniscus, Angels GM Perry Minesian announces no timetable right now. So It just seems like Mike Trout, it's been really tough these last couple of years for him. He's had a good start to the season, batting about .220, I think 14 or so home runs. So, you know, has been playing well, and then you get news like this, and it's definitely got to be heartbreaking for him.
Like we were talking about those guys earlier, it's always something with him, and when he's in there, he's great. But he's been out a lot. I think last year only appeared in, 37 games?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a lot. And that's kind of been the M.O. for him lately. And it's exactly like Zion. He cannot affect it. I mean, it's nothing he's doing. Mm-hmm. It's just, it feels like every single time he's kind of catching his groove,
we're not blaming a guy.
No.
We're not.
No,
we're just stating that he's not in there a lot. And talking about career postseason at-bats, he's just got very, very few, and they haven't done a lot of winning, and he plays a lot of times when most of the rest of us are sound asleep. And just if it's the better case of the lighter end of meniscus, that's 8 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah. I think easily 8 weeks.
So back around right before the All-Star break.
And I think that's best case scenario. Extremely
best case scenario. And it's always not expected to be season ending.
Right.
Until it is season ending.
Yes, and usually you don't, you know, it's kind of further down the line that you even really start talking about that. But like I said, he talked to the media just now. Sam Blum, who covers the Angels for The Athletic, this was his tweet just a couple minutes ago. Mike Trout was fighting back tears as he spoke to the press today. Very emotional, was at a loss for words in describing the disappointment. Said he felt it a bit in the third inning yesterday, but no serious pain until postgame. We'll have surgery ASAP, he said. So, not great. Definitely not good for the Angels. It's probably going to be another really rough season for them. But just really, really rough news. Not the news I wanted to see from him.
It is. Any news on Porzingis today?
Yeah, so Porzingis is going to be out for game five at the very least. I don't know. I kind of saw it in passing earlier. I don't know if that's anything more going forward, but I do know he'll be out the next game. That was reported earlier, maybe about an hour ago.
What is the extent of it?
So here it is. I just pulled it up. Here's the ESPN story. Boston Celtics center Kristaps Porzingis is expected to miss a minimum of several games with a right soleus strain suffered in game four.
Do I have a soleus?
I don't know. I don't know what a soleus is. Johnny, do you know what a soleus is?
Do we have two of them?
I don't know, man, but it sounds like it's
I'm probably mispronouncing it like crazy. I'm sure someone's driving down in their car.
I'm just epidemiologist. I'm not an orthopedist.
I'm nothing, you know. I do not claim to be any doctor at all. That's going to be a big miss for him. The Celtics.
I'm going to go with Solus too. I see it now. S O L E U S.
Solus.
I don't know how it could be anything other than that.
I don't know, but I've never heard of it before. The Solus, and then in quotes.
So right Solus. That means you must have a left one too.
So I at least have two of them.
It's like a lot of things. We got a pair of them.
Right. You got a pair of them.
I don't want anything strained. We got a pair of them.
No, absolutely not.
We like fingers? I got 10 of them. I can have a strained finger or two.
Yeah, wow.
If you get 10 to a pair, I don't want anything strained.
No, not at all. So, yeah, it sounds like this is going to be...
So calf strain. Soleus is the calf.
Is the calf.
I'm reading down.
Yes.
I've gotten to the story.
Welcome to the story, Brett.
Thank you.
That's definitely not great. That's
glad to be here.
I'll be here all week. Definitely.
No, really, just three more days.
That's
this
right.
Week. That'd be all week.
That's true. It's a big blow for the Celtics. Kristaps Porzingis has been playing well, and now we'll miss game five. I don't see
we
him
all
having
thought
much
of
trouble.
When they do that quick step of, you know what.
Yep. And especially when it's that non-contact injury, you always fear the worst of the worst when it's a non-contact injury.
Yeah, Achilles is not the career ender
right.
that it used to be.
Right. Yes.
It's a long, painful rehab.
Sure. Thankfully, to medicine and doctors out there, it's
how hard
not one? As bad. Okay. Oh no. First off, Johnny, anytime you get a high hard one right after talking about injuries and doctors
and a pair of them.
I don't know where this is going to go. So, Brett, please proceed.
You never know.
If you were a doctor, what doctor would you want to be?
Ooh, good question.
And do not ask John Harden that question tomorrow.
No, you can't ask John.
I'm sure we're going to get incoming text message in many minutes of John telling us what doctor he'd be. An eye doctor. How about that? I'd be an eye doctor.
Very good. Yeah.
Something basic.
Normal hours.
Yeah, the eye doctor seemed like the safest.
One of my nephew's wives is eye doctor, and you can really plan a lot of things. You have that emergency call occasionally.
Sure.
But
I think in terms of like the, you're seeing like the most like crazy injuries or like things happening. It's like eye doctor's kind of on the lesser end of that maybe.
But I wouldn't want to be any kind of surgeon.
No, absolutely not.
Because I couldn't take the blood. I couldn't take the pressure, the severity of it.
No. Absolutely.
There's
not.
Many reasons why I'm not a doctor.
I saw one of my buddies that I was actually really good friends with his brother, but there was only a year age difference, and so I was good friends with him as well. He lives in Nashville. I don't know exactly what he does, but it's some sort of pharmaceutical sales or something along those lines. And so
that's more like it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But he knows a lot about what goes in there. I guess whatever he sells, it's something that you have to use during surgery. And so he's, you know, seen a handful of surgeries and a lot of different things. And I saw him a couple weeks ago at a restaurant. I was talking to him. We were catching up and he was telling me about his job. And I said, now what does that do? And, you know, he's telling me. And then he goes into graphic detail about like what the product is used for. And like the different types of surgeries and what they have to do to get there. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Stop. No. I don't need to know anymore. I understand. Thank you very much.
You know, I can't come up with an answer after I asked you the how hard one. I don't.
Well, I gave you,
you had a really good one.
Thank you.
But orthopedics would, in some, there are surgeons, but not all of them. Just like every cardiologist doesn't do the surgery. You know, one time speaking of cardiology and being in medical sales, and those are great jobs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You don't run into any pharmaceutical sales rep, medical supply sales rep, that they're not happy.
Oh, yeah.
And they all crush it and all have really, really good lives. And they don't have near the pressure on them as the doctor. Now, the paycheck's not what the doctor, what it is either, but it's real good.
Yeah.
Every one of them, to a person, man and woman, they're all very happy. And one of the only time I've ever left radio in 99, I took a job in Little Rock and I was miserable in it and told a cardiologist friend of mine, I said, you know, I got to do something different. You know, if I can't get back to Memphis and get in sports, I got to do something different.
Sure.
And he had me interview, and I was close to getting it. And then I said, heck, I'm going to take – I got to get back to Memphis and get to sports. And a pacemaker sales rep.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But the training for it was going to be extensive you know, really learn a lot about it. Not to the level of being, you know, someone that can install, that put in a pacemaker.
Right. But you gotta know what it does. You gotta know, the ins and outs of it. And I'm sure you have to view a lot of probably pretty gruesome things when that
and happens. You probably don't have to do a whole lot of cold calling. They call you.
Well, that's true.
Can you see me as pacemaker sales rep? No. It wouldn't have worked.
Not at all.
I tell Bo Marchand all the time, this is what we were called to do.
Sure. Absolutely. And both of y'all do it very, very well. But, yeah, no, I cannot see you selling pacemakers. But, hey, you know.
I think small-town general practitioner would have been a fun doctor job.
Sure. I like the small-town aspect of it.
I had a great one.
Yeah.
Legendary, great guy
in
Far City. And any time it got above – you know, get plenty of rest. Here's some medicine.
Sure.
Anything really above that, send you to Memphis.
Love that. Oh, that's great. That's great. I mean,
you got to go there.
Default. I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, anything. Your favorite lasts more than about 3 days. You need to go see someone.
Head out there. Yeah. No, I like that. I think any job that when it becomes like a little too much that I can just like direct you somewhere else. I love that. That's great. That's
eye
like
doctor's
great
answer.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So I mean, I think it'd be. And now that I have glasses, I had to go to the eye doctor. My aunt's an eye doctor, so like, you know, I've kind of seen some of it. Like, yeah, I'd be an eye doctor.
I so admire anybody in the with your dome, anybody in the neurological world.
Oh, yeah. But that sounds like a.
But boy, you got to deliver some bad news.
A lot of bad news. A lot of pressure on you when it comes to some of the operations. Yeah, I would stay away from that. And kind of back to the whole surgery thing. Anything like that, where like I am responsible for something. No, thank you.
Be a team doctor would be fun, wouldn't it?
That would be fun, yes. That would be really fun. That's a very, very
interesting
question.
There's a bunch of team doctors around now.
There sure are.
There really are.
Every
team's
got to have
at
least one, and most have.
Well, you have neurologists around. You have, of course, the orthopedist guy around.
Yep.
Even dental work. You have the team dentist.
Team dentist, love that. Maybe
they got everything now, Brett.
You want to be team dentist?
Your job, the eye doctor.
Sure, yeah. Only sport I don't think I would want to be a team dentist for is hockey, and I'm sure they've got to have good team dentists.
Here's the prescription you have to write: eat more Jell-O.
yes.
Because there ain't a tooth in your head.
Lose a lot of teeth playing hockey. We've got some hockey later.
Kind of forgotten a little bit about the hockey playoffs.
Yeah, and I'm afraid.
I'm waiting. I'm ready for this round to wrap up.
Well, Brad, I'm afraid our Maple Leafs and our Predators are on the brink.
I can't get either across the line, can I?
No, no, you can't. It's, and I think Austin Matthews, their star player, I believe, is out tonight for the Maple Leafs. So not looking good down 3-1 against the Bruins, but. That's your hockey talk for the day. Let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show and talk about crunch time.
Be sure to follow us at Sports56WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports56WHBQ. Now back to sports time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started, so.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Go crazy, folks!
This is for all the biggest crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
Goodbye. Hello, Haskins.
It's obviously crunch time.
Hammer, nail, coffin. This baby is over.
The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito. So good. Double the steak with nacho cheese sauce, seasoned rice, red strips, sour cream, and the three cheese blend wrapped inside a warm flour tortilla, with even more three cheese blend grilled on the top. The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito, it hits the spot now at Taco Bell. And at Taco Bell, when they say they are feeding people's lives with unexpected good, they mean it. Bowl food you can't get anywhere else.
Well, Brett, what I learned today as we get closer and closer to the final hours before the deadline for the transfer portal, more and more people jump in. I've seen a lot of guys entering today, kind of that final day to really get in, and a lot of fan bases are upset. I've seen not one, but several players that committed back to the team earlier in the season posting stuff on social media saying, I'm be back next year, we're running it back. Earlier this month, now turn around today and enter the transfer portal. It's a wild world in the transfer portal, but it looks like for the Tigers, I know there was a lot of question marks about what would happen, and it seems like for now at least, and still a couple more hours left, but it does not look like either of those two guys are going to enter the transfer portal. Nicholas Jourdain has reiterated that he will be back, and it does not look like he's going to enter. David Jones, his name also not in the transfer portal. So when we get to that deadline before an announcement, that means it's either pro route or back to Memphis for him, and that would definitely be huge.
Yeah, we've got new definitions now for commitment and for run it back.
Absolutely, absolutely. None of them mean what we thought they meant 2 months ago.
What I learned today, College Football Playoff Committee badly wants no rematches, and I understand that, but unlike the NCAA tournament that can mandate, and they do, no first round and generally no second round. They try to manipulate it not even for second round rematches, and they can accomplish that. But they have 68 teams. It's a lot easier to do that with than the 12 this year, and we think 14 or 16 in the future. Here's one big thing they need to try to do. Don't try to be the basketball committee. It's a different sport. It's football.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What I could have done without, it's what we talked about in the last segment, Mike Trout to undergo knee surgery to repair his meniscus. A lot of people think that he could come back. I think that is the idea that the Angels want to put out, that this isn't right now season ending. But Brett, we know how that goes. We've seen
that's
it
also
here.
For it the ticket office.
Absolutely, and we've seen that here with different guys with the Grizzlies, where it comes out and it's not season ending. They'll be back, and then very quickly turns into season ending. So we'll have to wait and see. But I do hope for those fans and for Mike Trout that he's back before the end of the season.
I could have done without the White Sox three-game winning streak coming to a halt last night. It ended. When will they have another three-game stretch the rest of this year? Will they do it again? Will that be the longest win streak of the year? Last night made it 8 straight for the Twinks, Rocco Baldelli's team playing better.
Yeah, no, they are definitely playing better. That's absolutely for sure. Where are you beaming tonight?
Madison Square Garden Knicks can put Joel Embiid and his dirty play out of its own misery. He's never won anything in college at KU or in the pros. He's always hurt or hurting.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Beam me. How about this? Going completely off the wall. Beam me back about an hour, and then let me see this AAA baseball game between Buffalo and Indianapolis. Alec Manoa.
You're going back in the beaming machine?
I'm going back in time in the beaming machine.
That's
and
impressive.
Making it send me to a AAA baseball game, which might be a first here.
In Buffalo. It's still cold in Buffalo.
Sure. Well, they're playing in Indianapolis, but okay. it's cold in both places. On the mound for Buffalo, Alec Manoa, obviously the Blue Jays pitcher, he's taking the mound for Buffalo. For Indianapolis, Paul Skeens, who still has a .53 ERA right now. They're, I think, through at least 3.5 innings right now in that game. 0-0. So a great game so far. We'll see how that plays out.
Get Paul Skeens to Pittsburgh. They could use it to sell tickets. Going to watch Minnesota and Denver. Minnesota and Denver, they're set in the Western Conference semis. Oklahoma City awaits the winner of the Clippers in Dallas. Orlando at Cleveland.
Yep.
It's 2-2 there. And tonight, Indiana can eliminate Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's going to be a really fun one to watch. See if Indiana can do it, like you said, tonight against the Bucks. Some really fun baseball games. Brett, you mentioned it during the break. Major League Baseball, when it comes to doubleheaders, they got them back out there. Cardinals, Tigers already back out there. A lot more games really
great
tonight.
Uniform matchup. The Tigers in their traditional uniforms. Cardinals in the road gray with red tops.
Oh, yeah. Good
red
look. A good jersey matchup tonight in Detroit for sure. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.